It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Good morning, everyone. It is draft day, one of the best days in the NFL calendar. It's something that we talk about for many months, do hundreds of mock drafts, all the arguments on Twitter and everything else. And then today's the day that we finally get to see how wrong all of us were, because hardly anyone's ever going to be right, unless you're Josh Norris for your 59 from last year in the Huddle draft. But for those of you that aren't aware, we've done this the last couple of years. Do a UK fans mock draft. So there's 32 GMs across the UK who do a full 7-round mock draft. This tends to start late March, and this finished, I think, about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks ago. So there are some trades that have happened since that aren't included in this. So the draft board does look a little wonky, especially if you include the Patriots pointless trade down from Monday night. But as a result, I thought we'd bring in an expert in college football and a good friend of mine, Ben Isaacs. You can hear him on the Nat Coombs show. You can hear him on the on TalkSport on Sundays during the NFL season and before, as well as also you can read some amazing work from him. And you can find him on Twitter at Tweets and Ben. Ben, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
I am excellent. Like you say, draft day is one of the big days of the year. It's like Christmas Day. But they're just like with Christmas Day of old, and I'm talking before our time here, Murph, not our youth. But yeah. Some people are gonna be unwrapping kind of like lumps of coal on draft day rather than like a brand new rally chopper, let's say.
Absolutely. And do you know what's funny? One of our DFS guys, Mark, he messaged me saying, well, draft day for you is a bit like Christmas. And I went, it is. But the problem is when the Buccaneers are good, you get shafted to the end of the round. And it's not quite as exciting when your team is good because you don't get a generational talent or that belief that you're going to get a game-changing player. Like, you just hope to get someone who's going to come in and add to what you have, which is a nice problem to have. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. But there is something about holding a first overall pick or a top 5 pick or a top 10 pick and drafting your next franchise QB or your next generational edge rusher. Or, you know, I feel like if you're a good team or a consistently good team like the Steelers haven't had that opportunity for quite some time to draft high up on the board. I don't feel it carries the same magic in some ways.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The very first draft that I can remember was when Vinny Testaverde went number one overall to the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I was a new NFL fan at that point. I'd been kind of like watching casually, and I didn't really kind of get the draft. And that was the first year I realized, okay, if you are the worst team, you get the chance to have the best player. And it meant that I really kind of followed his career closely. And dear God, I did not expect it to last for so long and just have so many kind of acts. You know, I remember him being a bust and a comeback player and a start and absolutely everything. But a moment that I always associate with Vinny Testaverde and the one of my favorite number one overall picks was actually him on the Dave Letterman show in the late 90s. Oh, yeah. when he was the Jets quarterback, when he really leading the Jets. And they set a challenge for him. They put a sandwich on the top of a Christmas tree and he had to knock the sandwich off by throwing the ball. And at that moment, I realized I hadn't really heard him speak. I don't know how I'd managed to go this far without really hearing much from him. I mean, obviously, in those days, you know, in the 80s and for most of the 90s, you wouldn't have just been kind of going online and watching some long form interview. You were not catching him on a podcast. But he threw the ball. He hit the sandwich. The sandwich went everywhere, as it was designed to do. And Letterman said to him, like, oh, you know, you did it. And he said, oh, the sandwich exploded. I thought, oh, dude. I don't know about you in the huddle now. But yeah, I mean, that's like, to me, when you think of number one overall picks, he is actually the first one that comes to mind. And he, although he didn't turn the Bucks into winners, the thing is there's always that belief. And maybe in 15 years time, we're going to see Trevor Lawrence throwing a ball at a sandwich on a Christmas tree.
If I have to wait 15 years for that, I'm sure someone's going to recreate that moment. Maybe I'm going to send that clip to James Corden online. I'm not saying friends with James Corden or not, but I'm just going to say, hey, can you recreate this with like Trevor Lawrence or Malik Willis or someone from this year's class? So it's, yeah, I mean, I was a bit young for Vinny Testaverde in the beginning of his career at the Bucks, but he obviously was drafted about 18 months after Steve Young was drafted in the NFL or the USFL expansion draft by the Buccaneers when the USFL folded after Donald Trump sued the NFL for $3. And then all the players from the USFL had to, the original USFL obviously ties in nicely. There's a USFL now. But he obviously then came and signed for the Buccaneers, was terrible, traded to the 49ers, ended up having a great career. Vinny Testaverde, drafted, was terrible, ended up having a pretty good career. Tampa was not the place to be.
No,
about 96.
Yeah, a nice place to live, not a nice place to play.
No.
And the thing is that it's, you know, we talk about the idea of a generational talent going number one overall. It's always got a different kind of flavor when it's a quarterback. And one thing we can be sure of this year is a quarterback is not going to be taken number one overall. And thankfully, the 32 GMs that you worked with had enough sense to not conspire to have one go number one overall.
No, absolutely not. So let's. So for those of you who are listening to this, there is a link in the show notes where you'll be able to access the draft and see this. We're not going to read out all the picks because it's 260 picks that will go will go a long way, but it was, I don't think anyone's surprised. Agent Aiden Hutchinson, the edge from Michigan, went number one to Jacksonville. In fact, it's pretty chalky, I would say, the first few picks. Maybe Carolina and the Giants flip-flopping on tackles there might be the first sort of spicy point. Ooh,
well, I tell you what, okay, so yeah, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, I think, is the right call at number one. He's not as kind of splashy a pick, obviously, as Lawrence. There isn't a clear, obvious number one player to the point where I think we all expect Aiden Hutchinson. But if Jacksonville turned around and picked Kayvon Thibodeau, it wouldn't blow my mind. And I think those are the one and two, and I think they are both absolutely fantastic. But instantly, my eyes were drawn to the number three pick here, with Houston taking Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. Now, I, like everybody else, I do like Kyle Hamilton. However, I think he is going to be more of a kind of top 15, maybe top 10. I just think you don't get such good value if you're taking a safety at number three. Only once in history have we ever seen a safety taken in the top five, and that was Sean Taylor. So it's a risky one, I feel. I personally, if I had that number three pick, I wouldn't be taking Kyle Hamilton.
No. I think it's what you said. I think he's a good player. There is a strong position need there, but then I could argue that most of the Houston Texans roster is a position of need. And I think, you know, I look at Sauce Gardner was on the board, Evan Neal. I think they're all the sorts of players you could look at. Maybe going even Jermaine Johnson for edge rusher. I think there's several players you could look at there. It's worth mentioning the Jets traded up to get Thibodeau. Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to go through every pick. Was there any in the first round here that kind of stuck out as slight reaches? And this was, by the way, before New Orleans traded up. So that's why Philadelphia still had their two picks. And New Orleans only have one. So that obviously will have some connotations. This isn't 100% accurate, but there was trades allowed in this draft. There were quite a lot of first round trades. You will see some movement on this board, but was there any ones that kind of stuck out here for you?
I think Hamilton and even Gardner, I think, are reaches in the top four, but these are talented players. These are top 10 caliber players. Trayvon Walker at number 8, who's going to Atlanta in this draft. I think that is just, I think that's exceptional value. I think he's potentially a top 3 talent there. I liked the aggression of we've got number 9, Seattle taking Malik Willis. Now, the quarterback situation in this draft is obviously shaky. Malik Willis has a lot of talent. He's got a high ceiling, but I think he has also got a low floor. Now, I think he's got the potential to make a team very, very happy. But I think talent-wise, if he was in last year's draft, he would be a second rounder. And when you're using a top 10 pick on someone who would have been in the second round last year, it makes me uncomfortable. But Malik Willis does have that potential to be an absolute superstar in the right situation and with the right coaching. I don't expect him to start straight away. And let's say he was in Seattle. I don't think they would try to put him in and give him the keys to the offense in week one. But it's a risky one as far as I'm concerned. I didn't... It didn't thrill me. I thought that Green Bay taking Drake London number 22 is also good value. We, you know, it's a really good draft for wide receivers. So I particularly liked that one, and more great wide receiver value at number 26. Got Tennessee taking Chris Olave, who I am absolutely in love with, and I feel bad saying that this is a reach, but at number 32, with Detroit using their pick from the Super Bowl winning Rams, David Ajabo, who obviously is very, very talented, had a fantastic season at Michigan, was disruptive, and everyone loves him. He's just super coachable, but he did get injured on his pro day, and I think that's gonna knock him down to the second round, and I think he's gonna be great value at some point in the second round. But if I was in that position, I would probably not take David Ajabo.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I sit on the fence with it because I think if he's not injured, I think you could argue he would have gone in the first round.
Sure.
And I think this is similar to what Tennessee did a couple of years ago when they drafted, our names just completely escaped me. That's so annoying. But they drafted a player, obviously, Simmons. They drafted Simmons. Knowing that he was going to be out, but with the fifth year option, effectively, you're still getting that 4 years. You're just basically taking the hit in year one, and you're paying a bit more salary, but for what he is, I guess there's the logic I can kind of see there. Just to sort of round up here, the skill positions in this draft, because we're going to go team by team now, were the skill positions on offense, with the exception of wide receivers, were greatly underappreciated, I think it's fair to say. Two quarterbacks round one. One running back in the first two rounds, which ironically was me at Tampa Bay taking Breece Hall, because not it was a position of need, but he was, for me, the best player on the board at pick 60. And I felt there was just no way I could pass that up, despite the fact it's definitely not a position of need. But I think sometimes you really do have to take the best player on your, as Michael Lombardi puts it, vertical board. But no tight ends taken. I think Desmond Ridder was taken in the second round at pick 58 to Atlanta, which you love then, because they still get a QB, but they get Ridder all the way at 58. So only one QB taken second round. No tight ends taken in the top two rounds. One running back taken in the top two rounds. Does that surprise you? Is this like too sensible and we're not going to see this? Or what are your...
Well, do you know what? I mean, I think it is very sensible. Personally, I'd probably put Kenneth Walker slightly above Hall, but it's a little bit of a coin flip, really. And I think you're right. When the Bucs are in a position of strength in that they can add the best player available, it's not kind of filling terrible holes. The quarterback situation, I am very much down on those quarterbacks. I do wonder if someone does trade up tonight in the draft and takes... I think if someone's going to trade up, they're probably going to take Malik Willis because of his higher ceiling over Pickett. I think what could happen then is the dominoes could fall, is that quarterback hungry teams can then start to panic and worry that in the in the game of musical chairs, they're going to be left standing, which in an exercise such as this, when it's a thought exercise, nobody's job is resting on it. I think you are able to be a bit more sensible and say, do you know what? I don't think there's a quarterback out there that's going to change the franchise. This is not what I would do. So I think we could see a run on quarterbacks if someone trades up. The running back situation, I wouldn't be surprised if no running backs are taken in the first two rounds. And obviously, that's almost what happened. Almost what happened with this. There are decent value running backs, but there's no one really who is worth, I mean, definitely no one who's worth a first round pick. And there's certainly no one who's worth a top 50 pick. So I think having one go at 60 is about right. The tight end situation, again, the tight ends aren't terrible, but there are no game changers there. There's just a lot of okay tight ends who will be role players. And that's what these running backs are. And a quarterback is never going to be a role player. A quarterback has to be the guy. You've got to be very confident. And I don't feel confident by any of these. I love the Desmond Ridder at 58, but everyone above that, not happy. So it is sensible, and we can only dream of NFL GMs being so sensible.
I should mention Kenneth Walker went to Arizona with the 63rd pick, which given the fact they're a bit light in that running back room, is I think makes a lot of sense. So it definitely was an interesting draft to see a lot of defensive talent go, a lot of offensive line talent go, and I think it demonstrated the strengths of the draft really came through here. And I feel like there was still some good value coming on through the board. Definitely feel like there were some really good picks sort of going down a bit. But I'm with you on the quarterbacks, and I think you're right. I don't think we'll see this scenario play out because people get desperate. But if you're Atlanta this year, why would you take a quarterback at 8 when, yes, I get it, you've got Marcus Mariota. He's not going to instill any confidence. Are you going to win the division this year? Keep in mind, you haven't got anyone that can catch the ball on the team other than Kyle Pitts. So maybe that's unfair to Auden Tate and Omalani Sakias. But you haven't got a game-changing wide receiver. You haven't got... I always think the quarterback should be one of the last pieces that you add. You've kind of built the team.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And the quarterback is your final piece because you want to make the most of that rookie contract that's going to allow you to spread the money, get the game winners elsewhere. And I think if you're going out to rebuild your franchise, and we see it so many times, teams rebuild under a franchise QB at one, and people wonder why it doesn't work because they get the quarterback, but there's no real talent around them. And there's some examples where high-end QB talent just didn't work because they didn't work. Like Jameis Winston, you can't argue he didn't have talent to throw to. It just didn't work out. But there's some situations where QBs went into very talentless situations. And like Trevor Lawrence last year.
Justin Fields, like Zach Wilson. They were all put in situations where the cupboard was bare. You're right. They're not the final piece. And Atlanta, there's no need for them to kind of panic and be like, right, we need the quarterback now. You can build the team, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I really like this Atlanta draft. I think it's really good. I think it is kind of setting them up for the future. And even if even if they did take, so at 8, we've got them as Trayvon Walker. I love that. At 43, Daxton Hill, the safety out of Michigan, who is flying up people's boards right now. Those are two absolutely fantastic picks to start off with. And then Desmond Ridder. Let's say in real life, Atlanta took Walker and Hill, but didn't take a quarterback. They're in the position to take a quarterback next season when the draft class will be a lot stronger in that position. So you're right. Get yourself stocked up, then slot a quarterback in. And especially don't reach for a quarterback now when they are going to be very raw, have quite a low floor, and they don't have weapons around them.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Let's go through some of the teams. I'm going to highlight just a couple of picks from each one as I read them out. We've done Atlanta, but let's go back to the Cardinals. So they took Jordan Lewis, defensive lineman out of Georgia, Kenneth Walker, we mentioned, and Joshua Paschal from Kentucky, the defensive end. What did you think of their draft overall? They don't have tons of picks here, but...
No, to me, this is... I would say this is a B, because I really like those first three picks. The problem is that there is then a hell of a gap between their top three and the rest of them because of the way that their picks arrive. So their next pick after 87 is 208. And... In those positions, they get. I mean, I do like the cornerback from North Carolina, Kylan McMichael, who's here as pick 210. But there is a drop off after that top three. But I think in terms of defensive talent, this is a really nice draft for Arizona.
Yeah, and they traded back a couple of times late to acquire those extra picks because of the fact they didn't have that many. So it's a good move by their GM. We've done Atlanta. What do you have a grade for them?
Yeah, I would give Atlanta an A. For this, I really like it. I've mentioned the top three, but I also like Jalen Tolbert as their fourth pick, the wide receiver out of Alabama, and I like Brandon Smith, the linebacker from Penn State, picked at 114th. I think there are a lot of starters in this draft. So well done to that GM. That one's an A for me.
Wow, high praise there, Baltimore. They traded back in the first round with Buffalo, but still, I think, did really well with who they got with their first round pick. So they got Tyler Linderbaum, who is easily the best internal offensive lineman in this class. Travis Jones, the lineman out of Connecticut. Darian Beavis, linebacker, and Trey McBride. And Sam Williams, the edge out of Ole Miss. They were their first five picks in the top 100. Thoughts?
I think this is another really good one. I would say this is a B plus. Tyler Linderbaum is just a perfect fit there for the Ravens. He is so good. You're right. He's the best. He's the best inside guy there. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's someone who they can be like, okay, you're our center now. You'll be here for a decade. Darian Beavers, linebacker from Cincinnati, big fan of him. And Sam Williams at 100 is really good value. This feels like a classic Ravens draft.
I kind of look at it now and think, yeah, that it does look very much like you can expect this to happen, except for the fact I don't think Linderbaum is going to be there at 25. But
no, they'll be lucky.
They would be licking their chops to get him at 25. But I can see him taking him at 14. I really can see them plugging the button there at 14. I think this is like the dream scenario to trade down and still get your guy.
Oh, yeah. This, I mean, whether they'll take that risk, I don't know. But I think they know he's the guy for them.
Yeah, 100%. Buffalo Bills, they traded up. They got Kaya Elam from my Florida Gators. They got Khalil Shakir, wide receiver from Boise State. And then because of that trade up, they obviously sacrificed. So their next pick came at 168, which was Cardae Mays, the internal offensive lineman from Tennessee. Feels like a lot to pay for, admittedly, it's a position of need, but I'm not so sure. I watched a lot of him. I think he's a good player. I'm not sure I have him as a first round player personally.
No, I say the same. And this feels like a, sorry, Bills fans, if this happens in real life, I think this is kind of a C minus draft. There's just not enough talent coming in, too much given up for those players. Khalil Shakir is a good wide receiver, but considering the wide receivers that are available, if you're taking one at 89, then you are not going to get one of the best ones, obviously. If you're absolutely in love with Elam, then I get it. But there is a price to pay for the rest of that draft class. So C minus, disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. Carolina, interesting draft for them because they don't have that many picks. I actually don't know where all of their picks have gone. I sort of looked at this because there wasn't any trades in there. I just didn't realize they have one. What have they traded for? It's not like they've got a lot of talent on
them. No, they should have some buyer's remorse because they are not going to be very busy over the next few days in the draft.
No, I need to go and dig into why they don't have that many picks. But, you know, really, the picks are here. Evan Neal, Luke Fortner, the internal offensive lineman from Kentucky at pick 137, and then Charlie Kohler, the tight end out of Iowa State at 144. Hard to grade, given the fact that there's such a big gap in their draft.
Yeah, Evan Neal's fantastic, obviously. He is someone who, you know, whoever ends up being kind of the quarterback over the next 10 years or so in Carolina, and we'll just wait to see how it all shakes out there. Who knows? They will love Evan Neal because he's gonna keep someone upright. The rest of the draft is a bit ho hum. There are not many impact players. I mean, there were no other impact players. Evan Neal's gonna make an impact. No one else is. To me, this feels like a C minus again.
Yeah,
but at least without that risk of like trading up to do something crazy, like take Elam. Evan Neal at number six is very solid value.
Yeah, I feel like that grade is more down to the existing draft capital that the GM had to work with, as opposed to the picks that they've kind of made. They could only do what they could do with the draft capital that they had. And there's a few situations like this, I think, across the board. Moving on to your Chicago Bears, you obviously were very happy last year to get Justin Fields. As a result, there is no first round draft pick, but they've decided to give Justin Fields some weapons. Christian Watson and George Pickens, the first two picks here, followed by Ed Ingram to give him some protection. He's a guard out of LSU, and then a quarterback, Tariq Castro Fields, and then a nice, you know, addition of probably one of the best punters that we'll ever see in an NFL draft, with Matt Araizia, who made headlines at the combine for some of his athleticism.
Yeah, the punt god. I mean, I think he is absolutely fantastic. But you know what? That's an indulgent pick when you've got a lot of holes on your roster. I mean, no one's looking at the Bears thinking, oh, they're a punter away. So much like with the Panthers, where, you know, the grade is very much informed by the lack of draft capital. I think the same goes for this. I'd give this one a C. I think Christian Watson is very good value because I think he's a first round talent. I like George Pickens as well, but he could slip into the 50s or 60s, I think. But there were not a lot of players that they're able to take in those spots. And taking a punter at 150, I think someone is going to draft him near that number. I don't think that's wild. I just think the Bears need to be looking at players who are going to spend more time on the field, even though I think the punter is going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But at least it'll be fun for Chicago fans to watch Justin Fields at least have some toys to play with this year. Because Darnell Mooney's there as well. So at least it's be exciting for them. I don't think too many Bears fans would be disappointed with that draft if that's what happens.
No.
Since the Bengals traded out of round one, they moved back to 37. They got Boye Mafe, the edge, out of Minnesota. Jalen Petrie, the defensive back, out of Baylor. And then Zion McCollum, another cornerback, out of Sam Houston State, and then Calvin Austin, just because another wide receiver on that roster made complete sense, at pick 107, just to give Joe Burrow even more weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in a luxurious position to trade down and get extra picks. Do you feel they made the most of it?
Not quite, I don't think. Well, the thing is that I think it's a very good strategy because they didn't have lots of massive holes to fill, and I do like the players they've picked. But sometimes, you know, you trade down and you seem to get an absolute kind of king's bounty, and I don't see that here. When you look at the players they have taken in the top 100, they're good, not great in terms of value, but it's a strategy I like, and I think it's a C+ for the Bengals. Okay.
Moving on to the Browns, they obviously devoid a lot of picks due to their acquisition of Deshaun Watson. So they have three picks inside the top 100. Daniel Falele, the offensive tackle from Minnesota. David Bell, the wide receiver from Purdue. Neil Farrell Jr., DT from LSU. And then shout out to Zachary Carter, another defensive tackle from Florida, who actually I do like quite a bit. So I think he was good value at 118. Thoughts on the Browns? Again, difficult one to grade because they don't have many picks.
Yeah, but I really like Farrell and Carter. That kind of 1-2 punch out of the SEC, where they just, you know, breed those defensive tackles just in a different way. I like David Bell, the wide receiver from Purdue. I think in terms of using a not particularly great set of picks in terms of kind of where they fall on the board, I think the GM's done a really good job here, actually. And I give this a B, more for picks 2, 3, and 4, Bell, Farrell, and Carter, that I'm big fans of.
Nice. I think that's definitely more than fair. Dallas Cowboys, I think they've done reasonably well here. Treylon Burks, Nicholas Petit-Ferre, the offensive tackle out of Ohio State, and then Jalen Armour-Davis, cornerback out of Alabama, and then Cameron Jurgens, who, again, is another player I really like, interior offensive lineman from Nebraska, at pick 129. So, thoughts on Dallas?
This, to me, is a B+. I would not be at all surprised to see Treylon Burks go to Dallas. Jerry Jones wanting a flashy wide receiver from his alma mater, Arkansas. It just makes perfect sense. Mm. I like Armour Davis as well. I think he's someone who can make an impact pretty early on. And Petit-Ferre, he is so solid. He's a starter very early on, as far as I'm concerned. And also, don't sleep on Isaiah Thomas, the defensive end from Oklahoma. I think this is a really nice one. They had a lot of picks and made good use of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've done a really good job here. Next, we go on to Denver again. Tough situation for Denver because, again, they traded all their capital for Russell Wilson, which I don't think anyone in...
We're not going to begrudge them.
...is going to begrudge. But they did take Perry Winfrey from Oklahoma, Nick Benito, the edge from Oklahoma. So they got, you know, back-to-back Oklahoma players. Rasheed Walker, offensive tackle from Penn State. He did go tight end. Jalen Widermere from Texas A&M at 115, who I think is good value there, to be honest. And Samir White, when they went back-to-back, running back out of Georgia. And then I think they got a couple of really late steals, Josh Thompson in the 200s and Baylen Spector as well. There's a couple of late picks there I really like from Denver.
Oh, 100%. I think both those are going to be like surprisingly productive role players in the NFL wherever they're drafted. I think those are great value picks. I think this was a really tough situation for the Denver GM because of where the picks fell. But this is a really nice job. I really like Perrion Winfrey, and at 64, I think that's good value. Pairing him with Benito is good. Widemeyer, he's really good value. He was so good at Texas A&M, and that's someone I think who Russell Wilson would enjoy using. I think this is actually one of the best jobs in this draft, making use of those limited selections. And to me, this is a B+.
Nice. Detroit, they trade down from 2 to 4 to get Ahmad Sauce Gardner. We talked about the David Ojabo pick, Lewis Sign from Georgia. And then they do go quarterback at pick 66 with Sam Howell before adding Max Mitchell on the offensive line. Interesting draft. I will say here that the Detroit GM is not a Detroit fan. So he's just a college football enthusiast. He's a Bucks fan. So obviously I'm not giving him the Bucks franchise because I'm not that gracious as a host. So he kind of floats every year and takes a team that perhaps is a little under-supported. So, you know, what a caveat that he's not an actual fan of the team. But I think... interested to hear what you think from his
needs. Well, sometimes that helps because you can look at things in a more rational way. Now, I'm not a fan of Gardner at number 4. I think he's someone who could be taken lower. I am a fan of trading down. I think the way that this draft class kind of stacks up, I don't think you necessarily need a pick in the top 4 or 5. I think you can come lower. David Ojabo, I've already said, I think he could be a second rounder. I do like the pick of Sam Howell at 66. I think he is a bit of a project. Detroit clearly need a quarterback. There is a school of thought that says you should bring in a quarterback every single year, whether it's an undrafted free agent or you get someone in the lower rounds, just to get someone in, see what you can do with them. So I like the Sam Howell pick. But overall, I think this is a D for me, a Detroit D, and that's because of the work in the first round. I've got no problem with everything after that, but I think I'm not a fan of Gardner at 4 and Ojabo at 32, personally.
Fair enough. Green Bay Packers, they're going to be very busy on draft night. They've got Drake London, as mentioned, Arnold Bickety from Penn State, John Michi from Alabama. They've got Darren Kennard, offensive tackle out of Kentucky. So that's their four picks in the top 60.
Yeah, I really like the wide receivers, Drake London and John Metchie. That's great. If you can get those in the top 53 picks and you're the Green Bay Packers and you really need wide receivers, I think that's fantastic. That bumps up their score in my head, because the other picks are just kind of okay. Mm. I think there is some talent there. I think Mathis from Alabama, obviously, is someone who can, you're going to get a lot of snaps out of him, and he's good. DeMarco Jackson from App State, I think, is someone who could prove to be very good value. Got him at 171. To me, this is a B. Would have been higher, but there were just too many kind of so-so picks after those fantastic receivers.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, fair enough. Texans, talked about Kyle Hamilton. It took George Karlaftis from Purdue. N'Kobe Dean, linebacker out of Georgia, with their three first-round picks they get as a result of trading in this draft. Isaiah Spiller at 68, Kobe Bryant at 80. So definitely adding some pieces in this draft.
Yeah, when I looked at the first round and I saw Kyle Hamilton, I was not thrilled for the reasons I explained at the top of the show. But pretty much everything after that, I am a fan of to a certain extent. So I actually think this is a solid B plus because of the defensive players they picked. And also I think Isaiah Spiller has got the chance to get a lot of carries in this league. If it wasn't for Kyle Hamilton, this I think would be one of the best drafts actually. But that Kyle Hamilton pick, I think, is a big, big reach.
Yeah. I'm surprised you went as high as you did after what you said about Hamilton, but
I love 13 and 31. I think those are fantastic picks.
Yeah. So I think good job by you in there. Indianapolis Colts, obviously tough one. Not many picks, just two inside the top 100 here. Tariq Woolen, the quarterback, and Carson Strong at quarterback. Not a lot to talk about here in this draft. They're just very devoid of picks in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is a C, but it's kind of an incomplete grade. There's not a lot to go on. Tariq Woolen is a good cornerback, but if he's the star of your draft class, then obviously things are not in a good place for you. Carson Strong is an intriguing quarterback prospect. He's someone who I think can be a starter one day. He is going to need a fair bit of work. He's quite raw, but this is a hard one to grade because of just the lack of picks.
Yeah, absolutely. Jaguars, we talked about Hutchinson. Jahir Dotson at 33, Key Walker, linebacker out of Georgia at 65, Darian Kendrick, another quarterback out of Georgia, and Jerome Ford, running back out of Cincinnati, in the top 106 picks.
Yeah, I think this is the right player at number one, and I think Dotson that's good value in the second round. I could see him going like top 25. So if they can get him at 33, they should be very very pleased. The rest of the picks are decent, But in terms of value and in terms of impact, are obviously not coming near Hutchinson and Dotson. This, though, I think is a B. And I think Jacksonville's draft in real life last season wasn't great. Trevor Lawrence, we knew he was going to be taken number one. But everything after that, I was not a fan of. And, you know, taking a running back so early was a stupid decision. So if they can do this over the next couple of days, then I think Jags fans should be pleased.
Yeah, it's kind of it's an unspectacular but necessary draft, I feel.
Absolutely.
You're not going to walk away with many things to talk about, but I think that's a sign of a good draft, well done. Kansas City, Jameson Williams, a standout wide receiver from Alabama, Cameron Thomas at edge from San Diego State, Christian Harris, linebacker out of Alabama, and Cam Taylor, another quarterback out of Nebraska, James Cook, running back out of Georgia.
Christian Harris stands out here for me. I'm a big fan of his. Another kind of from that sort of that linebacker production line in Alabama. Jameson Williams, the wide receiver, as their first pick is a great shout. He should fit in very well in Kansas City in this situation. I do like this draft. I like it a lot. I would say this is a B plus, and I think it's bumped up because I think James Cook can also get plenty of carries and be a part of that rotation in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a crowded running back room, but definitely feel like there isn't that many great backs that he would have to displace. So I definitely see a role for him there, and I think he fits that offense nicely. So I agree. Vegas, tough one, traded all their picks for Devontae Adams. So they are down to just three picks in this draft. Leah Chenal, Luke Godrick, and Dakobe Durant, who was at pick 228. So not much to talk about here.
No, just because of the, and you know, you're in a tough spot here if you're the Raiders GM making these picks, but simply in terms of the talent that you've got here, I think you're looking at a D minus. You've not been able to pick up any spectacular bargains where someone has fallen and that you should feel thrilled that you've got them, but you got Devontae Adams, so, you know, yeah. Sleep.
You're not too unhappy.
No, you'd probably take that.
No, absolutely. Another team, not many picks, especially in the top 100, the Chargers. They do go Charles Cross, the tackle at Mississippi State, Channing Tindall at 76, the linebacker out of Georgia. I did note Brian Robinson here at pick 160, the running back out of Alabama, which I thought was decent value.
Yeah, there's you know, this draft to me is Cross and Robinson Jr. Those are the two I'm most interested in. Like, there's, you know, Tindall out of Georgia. I mean, Christ, it feels like we've already drafted about 100 players from that Georgia defense, which if you watched any Georgia games last, you'd be like, yep, that checks out. But yeah, Charles Cross is someone who should be able to be a tackle here for the Chargers for a long time. But yeah, Brian Robinson, pick 160, has the potential to be very good value. One of those running backs that you get a lot from in their first contract and then move on from. And I don't mean that kind of like to say, he's, but like, that's a strategy. That's kind of what you need to do. You need to kind of run these running backs into the ground in their first contract and then let them leave. And I think Robinson could be very, very productive. He might get a good second contract somewhere else, but I think it'll be the Chargers who can look back and feel like they got good value from him.
And they don't have anyone that could just pound the rock, because it's not what Austin Ekeler does. So I really like that pick at 160. I kind of saw it when it happened and was like, wow, I didn't realize he was still there. That was a great pick. The Rams, no picks in the top 100. Cole Strange was their first at 104. JT Woods out of Baylor, 142. Not much that the GM could do here with this draft.
No. And to me, this is a C minus, and it could have been lower if it wasn't for the fact that you know how the how the Rams have treated the draft recently. Yeah. You know, I won't repeat the famous phrase, but the way this draft has been put together in this mock draft is kind of similar to how I would expect the Rams to do it. They're not bringing in a lot of talent. They know what they've got. They know their strategy, but it's a bit meh. Cole Strange out of Chattanooga is a nice one, and that's about where he should go. But there are not many other players there who you consider to be starters.
No, and I think we can say something very similar here for Miami. Troy Anderson, pick 102, linebacker out of Montana State. They've obviously traded all their picks for Tyreek Hill, and then they also traded to move up last year after moving back. Alec Lindstrom, the interior offensive lineman for Boston College at pick 125. And they took Charleston Rambo at pick 158, who's a wide receiver out of Miami.
Yeah, it's not great. This is very much kind of like the cupboard is bare. This is a C minus to me. They're in a tough spot. Troy Anderson's a good one. He's gonna have to get used to like the speed of the NFL because Montana State is very far from the NFL. Charleston Rambo is someone who I think is gonna get some looks and will make some nice plays, but he's not gonna be anywhere near as productive as the receivers taken in the top 100, basically.
No, absolutely. So tough one all round for them. Minnesota, Derek Stingley Jr., quarterback from LSU. Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State. Drake Jackson, the edge from USC. Their three picks in the top 77, and they got a huge gap. Although I did note Cole Turner went at 184, which I thought was great value.
Yeah, Cole Turner is kind of the star turn in this set of picks in terms of kind of the value, because getting him that far back is great. Like Derek Stingley, I think he should have a good career. Drake Jackson, the edge rusher out of USC is also a pick I like, but it's Cole Turner that when you kind of cast your eyes through it, that's the one you kind of raise your eyebrows and you say, oh, well played GM for patiently letting him fall in your lap. I think this is a B+ for me.
Yeah, he was someone I considered at 147, but I did take a different tight end. But if I realized I could have got Cole Turner at 184, I would have, or 182, I probably would have made a different pick. New England, they traded back, surprise. Roger McCreary, quarterback out of Auburn. Chad Muma, linebacker out of Wyoming. Jamari Slayer from Georgia, another Georgia player. Wanda Robinson from Kentucky, Justin Ross from Clemson. So they do get better at wide receiver with some top wide receivers here in the top 85.
Yeah, I really like Justin Ross, and I think that'd be a really good landing spot for him. The rest of this is fine. It's nothing kind of that's going to set the world alight, but it does fill some gaps, and it's all kind of solid guys. To me, this is a C+.
It does feel like a Patriots draft.
Very trade Patriots back draft.
Get a lot of players who are good, productive. None of them are going to be showstoppers or that elite caliber talent, but players that you know will work in that system and do a good job.
100%.
New Orleans, this is without the second first round pick they would have had, so just two picks in the top 100 here. Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa, the offensive tackle, and Alec Pierce, the wide receiver from Cincinnati.
Do you know what? I've disappointed to not see a quarterback taken at some point here, and I know there aren't lots of options. But this might have been a good place to pick Desmond Ridder at 49. Mm. Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle from Northern Iowa, should be fantastic. That is one of the safe picks in the draft. Alec Pierce, I like, but don't love. As the wide receiver, I'm a little bit underwhelmed by this one, I'll be honest. And to me, Murph, it's a C minus.
Fair enough. I think that's a fair assessment. New York Giants, Akeem Ekwonu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State. Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher from FSU. Kenyon Green, interior offensive lineman, who I do not think will be available at 30 on tonight's draft. Feel it was great value there. Isaiah Likely, tight end from Coastal Carolina. Fun draft, this, I think.
Yeah, do you know what? If they could come away with those three players in the first round, then it's an A. It's an A if nothing else happens. But Isaiah Likely, he's a nice pickup at 67. But it's all about that three. I think Jermaine Johnson, the FSU edge rusher, is an absolute beast. I think he is going to be a problem for a lot of offensive linemen. I love this three. I think you're right. If Kenyon Green, I can't see him still being around at 30. But my God, if he is, you take him.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like those two players really fell in this draft. We'll talk about when we get to Tampa's draft. Kayvon Thibodeau, edge for the Jets. At two, we talked about Garrett Wilson at 10 for Ohio State. Kyler Gordon at 35. McDarvin Leal, interior defensive lineman from Texas A&M. Abraham Lucas, the offensive tackle from Washington State. It's five picks in the top 69. Solid.
Yeah, it is. It is solid, and even beyond that, I think that Terrell Bernard from Baylor, I think he's solid. Kirby Joseph as well, solid. This is actually a really good draft. Kayvon Thibodeau has such a high ceiling, potentially the highest ceiling of any of the players in this draft. Like, he was so impactful when he played. The thing that I don't want to say worries me, but the knock on him in my mind is that the best game that Oregon played last season was winning on the road in Ohio State, and they did that without Kayvon Thibodeau, their best player. And that makes me wonder, you know, has he been kind of raised up by the players around him? The thing is that he is super, super talented, and I think he will fit in well. I think he will enjoy being in the New York market. I think this is a good, really good draft, and I'm going to say A-.
Yeah, nice. Philadelphia Eagles, they have three first-round picks, which we know isn't the case anymore, but we're going to go with it anyway. Devonta Wyatt, again, another defensive lineman from Georgia. Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah. Andrew Booth, the quarterback from Clemson, who they get with their three first-round picks. Sky Moore, the wide receiver from Western Michigan, 51. Nick Cross, the safety from Maryland, complete their top 100.
Yeah, there's some top-end talent at the beginning. It does have a bit of a drop-off. I do like Sky Moore as well. So if you kind of look at the picks they've got in the top 51, I think they're really good. I think this is a B+. Wyatt and Lloyd are just, I think those are going to be super reliable players on Sundays. And if you can get both those in consecutive picks, you would be very pleased.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers, they go with Kenny Pickett from Pitt to challenge for the starting job there. Sean Ryan, the offensive tackle from UCLA, and Romeo Doubs, wide receiver from Nevada, complete their top 100 picks.
This doesn't excite me, Murph. I'll be honest with you. Kenny Pickett, I think he is a good fit for the Steelers. If you're going to take someone in the first round, I think, you know, take a quarterback in the first round, I think he's a good one. The rest of the draft is a little bit so-so. They're kind of good role players, but that's about it. The jury's still very much out on Kenny Pickett. You know, I know everyone wants to talk about the size of his hands, but he also had a lot of very mediocre seasons and games with Pitt before that last year, and I do worry about that small sample size. This is a C- to me.
Yeah, I'm not a Pickett fan. I get it. There's not tons of holes, so I kind of get it, but I feel like I would have really loved to see them get sort of a bit more of a flashy player for some of the players they could have got after pick 20. I just think either you could have got one of the stud wide receivers. You could have really got yourself like a bit of a playmaker. I'm just looking at sort of picks, the picks after that.
Like Chris Olave, just someone like that would just be,
Tyler Linderbaum was there. You can't tell me he couldn't find a role in the offensive line. Exactly. He'd have been a perfect fit there for me. Even Jordan Davis, I think, could have. You know, these are the sorts of players that might not be the strongest need you have, but I feel like there's a role for him somewhere there too. Could pass up. So, agree with you there. 49ers don't have many picks due to the Trey Lance trade last year. Logan Hall, the edge from Houston. Dylan Parnum, interior offensive line from Memphis, and Martin Emerson, the quarterback from Mississippi State, are their only top 100 picks, but nothing in the first round. They're picking late in the second.
Yeah, this is a very mild draft. This is not something, you know, we talk about kind of spicy. This is very mild. I like Martin Emerson, the Mississippi State corner. I think he's someone who's got a bright future, but overall, this feels like a C-, but This is because of what they did last year, and they had a guy they wanted in Trey Lance, and they knew this would be the cost, and I think they'll be prepared to pay that cost, even though we don't know what we've got in Trey Lance yet. I think it's a fair trade-off for the 49ers.
Yeah. Seahawks on a mass rebuild after what they've given away. And wouldn't be surprised if they see more trades on draft night team get even more picks, but they get Malik Willis, we talked about, Bernard Raymond, offensive tackle for Central Michigan, Kingsley Enagbare, the edge from South Carolina, Damon Clark, the linebacker from LSU, and Mikel Wright, the quarterback from Oregon, in the top 109 picks here. Solid rebuild?
I feel it's a baby steps. Malik Willis, I would totally get it. If they took him at nine, it would make some sort of sense. But there are far more talented players around. You've got to be absolutely sold on a guy if you are going to take that quarterback in the top 10. And I'm not 100% sure on it. And then the players afterwards, I think they're building blocks, but they're not game changers. To me, it's a C+.
Fair. Tampa Bay, Zion Johnson, interior offensive lineman from Boston College, Breece Hall, we've talked about, pick 60, running back from Iowa State. Marcus Jones, cornerback from Houston at 91. Jake Ferguson, pick 147 from Wisconsin. And then shout out to Michael Woods II, just because he's one of my favorite players in this draft, at pick 249.
This is one of the worst of the lot. This is someone who clearly does not pay any attention to college football or the NFL. And I think was probably under the influence of alcohol shooting. No, actually, this is actually a really good draft. And it would have been funny if you had totally ballsed it up, but you haven't. I think Breece Hall at 60 is fantastic. I think he can do a lot. Zion Johnson, it's the boring, obvious one. I think he will do a very good job there. And I was wondering if you were going to actually mention Michael Woods or just kind of like pass him by, because I think he is an absolute baller.
And
he is going to be a later round pick, and someone's going to get it. So there's going to be a handful of GMs who are waiting in a particular round to be like, if Woods is falling, I am taking him. And the Bucks would absolutely love him. Like, how much will Tom Brady love that kid straight out of the gate?
It's just what he did at the combine. And I just cannot believe there's no buzz on Michael Woods. I've been trying to bang the drum for him on everything I talk about and just see him as someone with such a high ceiling. But just a great kid. Great personality. Was shot to him clearing up after the combine, clearing up the medical tape and things like that. Just think he's a super, super kid who's going to in the right situation, he's going to have a great career. It's a tough room to break into, but...
Yeah. And you're right about the right situation. If he can get in somewhere where it's... I actually think he's going to benefit from a crowded room like he would get in Tampa Bay. I think he can benefit from that without having to be kind of like one of the guys to learn and be around a quarterback who, you know, I'm obviously not thinking like, oh, you're a quarterback like Tom Brady. There are no other quarterbacks like Tom Brady. There's just Tom Brady. But a quarterback who's experienced and knows how to spread the ball around, that is the ideal situation for him. If he ends up in Tampa Bay, he could have a long career as a Buck.
Yeah, I hope so. Great for the Bucks, because I'm curious.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten that. No, this is an A-. This is an A-. I love it.
I'll take that to the bank. checks in the post. Tennessee, there are two more. Tennessee Titans, Chris Olave, the standout here. They do go Matt Corral at pick 90. Jeremy Rucker, the tight end out of Ohio State, at pick 98.
This is another one that I like a lot. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Chris Olave. Matt Corral, I think, is perhaps the most intriguing of the quarterbacks. He needs some work. Well, I mean, don't they all? He might need a bit more work. He might be kind of the roughest around the edges. And it might be that he's got some personality issues. We shall see once he's in the NFL. But I think at pick number 90, that's a pick you have to make if you are thinking about the future, which the Tennessee Titans should be thinking about the future at quarterback. I like Rocket from Ohio State, and I think Reggie Robertson from SMU is someone who, again, will make an impact. I don't expect him to get like 100 catches anytime soon, but someone who can just get those third down conversions and get those red zone touchdowns. I think this is a really nice one again. and I'm going to go with another A minus.
Nice. And we finish with the Washington Commanders. They go Trent McDuffie at cornerback, Tyler Smith, offensive tackle from Tulsa, and Brian Asamoah, the linebacker from Oklahoma. But they do go QB, Bailey Zapp, the QB from Western Kentucky, at pick 189.
Yeah, I think he is an intriguing quarterback, a project, and I think when I say about like you should take a quarterback every year, that's the sort of guy. Take a guy like that and see what you can do. This one is a little bit top heavy because I do like Trent McDuffie and the other people kind of less so. It's a solid one and I'm going to give it a C, which by Washington standards is actually very high.
Yeah. I think they've got bigger problems right now than that. Should also point out, it wasn't put on the sheet for whatever reason, but Cleveland, because I was wondering why he hadn't gone, but he did go. Skylar Thompson. Cleveland went another QB and took Skylar Thompson at pick 247, which I feel like he might never play for Cleveland, but I'm sure someone should have taken him before then.
Yeah, I agree. And this is it. Take someone, because you just don't know. You know, there's this idea that if you've already got your quarterback, and the Browns will feel that, okay, we've got our quarterback now, that guy who can come in and learn, if they turn out to be good, then you can trade them and get a draft pick that was considerably higher than the one that you picked them with. You know, it is still a potential investment. And he is someone who could develop into a starter somewhere in this league. But you're right, probably not Cleveland in the long term.
No, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you going through all of this. I think it's been hugely beneficial, not just for all of us listening, but for the GMs who took part, and thank all of those GMs who took part, did a phenomenal job yet again. But Ben, this has been brilliant to catch up and pick your thoughts. Tell everyone where they can find you, if you've got anything on the pipeline that people can read and enjoy that's coming out.
First, I also want to congratulate the GMs, because it is a logistical nightmare doing these drafts. So all of you involved in it, just keeping it all together, is fantastic. And it's so entertaining for someone like me to kind of to go through it. Find me at Tweets from Ben, talking sometimes nonsense, sometimes good stuff on Twitter. I'll be tweeting all the way through the draft, because I will be staying sober, obviously, because there's no Bears pick in the first round, so I won't be celebrating like I was about Justin Fields. The big thing I'm doing right now is my new book, which is called The American Football Revolution, and it's all about NFL fandom in the UK, and it's interviewing a lot of people who make up the incredible fan scene in the UK. And I don't think enough has been written about, and not enough credit has been given to the UK fans. Like, we talk about the way the game has grown over here, and the work that the broadcasters have done, the things that the NFL has done bringing games here, and not enough has been said about the fans themselves and the actual community. And you know, one of the people I've interviewed for the book, Murph, is like, they've singled you out, and they've singled out, you know, 5 Yard Rush for the work that you've done for the community, and making sure that if you are new to the sport and you want to play fantasy, that you give them a home, you help guide them. And fantasy has played a huge part in creating the fandom that we have and get to enjoy in the UK today. So look out for that book. It's still some way off. It's being written now, but don't expect it to be published until September 2023. But I'm going to put a request out there, because I really want to speak to a Scottish Claymores fan from the NFL Europe days. If that is you, or someone you know, someone who went to a lot of Claymores games and really, really loved everything about that team and NFL Europe, please hit me up on Twitter, because there is a place in the book with your name on it. It's an important part of the UK's NFL history.
Well, there we go. So first of all, whoever was kind enough to say some nice words, appreciate that. Your check will also be in the post. This show is going to cost me a lot of money by the end of it. But no, if you are a Claymores fan, or know a Claymores fan, or just have a loose affiliation with the Claymores, then please do get in touch with Ben or myself, and I'll forward you on the Ben either way. But yeah, let's make it happen. And I can't wait for the new book. The first one, which was Was it Today in the NFL or Day in the NFL?
Yeah, Today in the NFL. That was like that book almost killed me. I swear to God, that one was ridiculous because that one was about 600-700 pages, whereas this one's going to be about 250. Thank God. So this one is an absolute breeze in comparison. And I always wondered why did no one ever write a book about like this day in NFL history for every single day of the calendar, and then you start doing it, and then you think, oh, this is why. Because it's absolute hell. So
it was a terrific read, and it's definitely a worthy gift. So make sure you buy a copy at some point. I know Amazon; you could get it with your Amazon subscription at some point.
Yes, yeah. If you've got Amazon Prime, you can read it for free, but I still get paid. And if you want more information on that, that's NFLHistoryBook.com.
There you go. So you don't even have to buy it; just click it open. Read the pages, Ben gets paid, everyone's happy, he gets to come back on, plug the book again, give us some more knowledge, he makes more money, everyone's happy. This is the way the world works. But Ben, appreciate you coming on. As always, enjoy the draft tonight. I look forward to some of your analysis as each pick as we hopefully, a lot of people are apparently going to be predicting trade backs, but I can't imagine that many people want to move up. So
no, that's the thing. People want to trade back, but you need people to trade up to do it. So, yeah.
I will say this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks do move up. If Zion Johnson is on the board at, say, 20-ish, and they're getting a bit twitchy, we've seen the Bucks, you know, they're not... That's the biggest area to fill is if they can get Zion Johnson there, I think that they will do it because and they'll move up. They're not afraid to move up at all. We saw them a couple of years ago get Tristan Wirfs and move up one pick to do it, and I don't think they're going to mind trading a third round pick to do it.
No, if they can, if it works out as well as Tristan Wirfs, then they should be very pleased.
Yeah, I mean, to move up one pick, I think it cost a fourth round pick. Which I think they did all right with. So,
yeah.
But appreciate it as always. And everyone at home, please hope you like, subscribe, tell your friends, write a review. And yeah, if you want to be part of the NFL UK fans NFL draft next year, you can follow the account. It's in the details. And if there's any spots that come up, I will let you know. But until then, Rush Nation, enjoy draft night. And as always, don't forget, keep rushing.